Morris Salzberg, also known, as we learned this morning, as Maish. He was 92 years old. He was born June 20th, 1919, to his parents, Sam and Fanny Salzberg. In the community, whenever I used to encounter him or interact with him, which wasn't a lot of times, he always had a very quiet and humble demeanor about him. As Joel so articulately described earlier, he was quite an individual, and he was a good soul. Basically, I tried to, after meeting with, and I've known the family for years, Joel and I played baseball together, I've known Cheryl, and of course, I know Mrs. Salzberg, Fran, and the Aguado families. But until you sit down and talk with the family about someone so close to them, you can't realize who they were. And I gleaned from yesterday's conversations a lot, but it wasn't much different from what I had already conjured up in my mind of who I thought he was. And I try to compartmentalize, although I try not to do that consciously sometimes, but it was very difficult not to in this case, that he had certain components in his life that were of extreme importance to him, and each one of them was valuable in its own right. Number one, fatherhood. His children, Joel and Cheryl, were the world to him. He never told me that, but I could tell, and the children never told me that, but I certainly gleaned that from the conversation with them yesterday. They didn't even have to say the words, and they didn't have to tell me. I knew it anyway, but their words confirmed it. They were his life. He was a devoted, caring, giving, compassionate husband to his dear wife, Fran, and she to him. If you want to know about a love story, if you want to know about fairy tales that come true, you have to look to them. The respect, the dignity, and the way in which they beheld each other is a lesson and inspiration to everybody. A simple game of cribbage in the evening was their night. They didn't look for grandiose fanfare, being in the spotlight. He was very content with his lot. This is not only good advice, but it is a proverb that we have in Judaism, Ezehu Asher HaSamech B'Chelko. Who's considered a wealthy person? Someone who is happy with what he already has. And it's not like what he has he picked in the backyard, like he did his garden. He worked for it and then embraced it. He was a kind soul, as I mentioned before. He was very confident in his own world, and he was able to reconcile things that people are probably constantly struggling with. He was probably at peace with, because he was a thinker and a deep thinker. You know, we have something that we have in Judaism that's called, in fact, you might have heard the word, kavana. We say it's very important to pray with kavana. And kavana is really, if you want to hone in on it, it means with intent. Do things purposefully, with purpose. Don't just be rote in your actions and your activities. This too was Morris Salzberg. Everything that he did in life, from what I can tell, and from what his dear children and wife tell me, he did it with gusto. If it was important to him, he internalized it. And he just didn't go through the motions. It meant value to him, and he had kavanah, he had intent when he engaged in those actions. Whether they be secular or whether they be of a Judaic or religious nature, he had an unshakable patriotism. How many Americans embrace this country? How many Americans embrace the America that it's supposed to be? Unfortunately, not a lot. But he did, and it wasn't just because he served in the military, the Merchant Marines. It's because he gave it thought, and he thought it might sound simplistic, and it might sound something like you might be able to dismiss, but you cannot. If you think about it and scratch the surface, it's very profound. Memorial Day to him really meant Memorial Day. Labor Day to him meant Labor Day. The 4th of July, the independence for the United States, meant exactly that to him. Most Americans don't use those days. Forgive me if I'm judging generally, but most of us use those as just days off and time to have fun, and there's nothing wrong with that. So he embraced the notion of internalizing the things in life that others might not have. And this benefited him, it benefited his family, his wife, and his children. He was quiet in his own right, but he wasn't quiet because he was necessarily shy. He might have been quiet because he didn't have something to say that was worth saying. He didn't waste words with idle gossip. In fact, he loved to interact with people. If you ever approached him and engaged him in conversation, you would soon find out that he was all too happy to speak with you. So his observance and conscientiousness with his patriotism spread to other areas of his life as well. He was a master engineer in, correct me Joel, if this, he was a steam boiler, I don't have much experience in that, but he did it with gusto, and he brought dignity to his job, to whatever he did, and with whomever he came in contact. He was an avid reader. He could quickly, what Joel tells me, I didn't witness this or experience this, but I certainly believe Joel and Cheryl when they tell me, he could whip through novels, read them very quickly, and they were novels of nonfiction, historical, military, because of his thirst for knowledge and for his just general curiosity about the world around him. I have to honestly say, though, that when I was sitting yesterday in front of the children, and John and Caitlin was there as well, nothing moved me more than the quiet dignity that Fran carries with her about her loving husband, Morris. She is a very strong woman. She is very kind, like he, and it is no wonder that they raised the family that they did, and they embraced life in the way they did. They traveled, they planned their children. Everything was around their children, from vacations. I said, did you travel anywhere? Sure, with our kids. We went here and we went there. And that was their life. Similarly, he embraced his Judaism. He was a regular attendee at synagogue when he could go, and, you know, I don't know how long ago it was when he was a regular attendee there, until he couldn't do it anymore. It was a place for him that he held very high in his heart, as well as the other components of our local Jewish community. Always respected, always gave it the due, and in fact, he adopted the Sephardic tradition, I'm sure in no small part due to the large, mashallah, the large family of the Aguado family, that when he would stray away from the Sephardic synagogues for these holidays, he would tell Joel, and I'm sure Cheryl, he missed what he became used to in the Sephardic tradition. And that is very nice, and it's good, but it also speaks to how he was welcomed by the families and how he felt so much part of this community. He was an active participant. So much has been said about his kindness and about how he viewed his nieces, of course his granddaughter Caitlin, and his nieces and his nephews. Beautiful stories come to mind from yesterday as well, my meeting with them. Again, I wasn't there, but I have a picture of it, that when the young children would come and visit the home, he would devise games for them and become a participant, not only with his children's friends, but with his great nieces and nephews. And he used to love interacting with his children's friends so much that when they come over to play or do whatever they would, he would be an active participant, get right in there with his children. And what better message is, you know, we always say, you know, don't do what I say, do what I do. And his children certainly did that. He is going to be missed. He was a kind man. He was a good person. And of course, to Fran and to Cheryl and to Joel and the entire family and friends, I know all of you join me in wishing Nechama, that they should have consolation, and that his memory should always serve as a blessing to all who loved him and to all who knew him. Tehei nishmato tzedurah b'tzvar hachayim b'gan eden. Amen.